This is Ted Kennedy. Why on earth would President Bush veto a sensible bill to stop skyrocketing rates for cable TV? In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, President Bush's veto of the bill passed by Congress to regulate cable television rates was a mistake on the merits and a political mistake, too. Congress was right to override the veto. President Bush may not have been in the loop on Iran-Contra, Al, but he's totally out of it on cable TV. After Congress deregulated the industry in 1984, rates went through the roof. They've gone up triple the rate of inflation. That's because there's no competition, Al. Most communities are one cable company towns. They use their monopoly power to gouge the public, rip off consumers, and charge whatever the market will bear. Deregulating cable TV was a mistake, Al. Someone has to say no to that greedy industry, and Uncle Sam is just the one to do it.
Ted, who are you trying to josh? I do agree that lack of competition has prevented consumers from getting a fair shake on cable, but Ted, you Democrats made certain that the cable bill had a long enough fuse so it would explode right under Bush's desk before election. Fact is, helping consumers was the very furthest thing from your mind, and you know it. Ted, no one wants to put a leash on run-amuck, monopolistic cable companies more than George Bush. But when Bush came to negotiate for a more reasonable balance, you slammed the door right in his face. Fact is, your sly political posturing is being played out at the expense of the mainly middle-class cable subscribers who can no longer afford these outrageous rates. Ted, you Dems have put on a better act here than most TV sitcoms, but the voters aren't fooled, and your little show will be canceled on Election Day. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on how the sale of F-15s to Saudi Arabia is a win-win prospect for Americans. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. President Bush's proposed sale of F-15s to Saudi Arabia is really a win-win prospect for Americans. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. By strengthening Israel and friendly Arab nations like Saudi Arabia, we boost our political influence in the Middle East and also reduce our own defense burden in the region. Selling the Saudis 72 F-15s could mean less American involvement there in the tragic event of further war. And Ted, while all you Democrats do is rant about taking care of people right here at home, President Bush has turned your hollow words into action. This sale will keep 40,000 high-skill aerospace jobs right here in the good old USA, not ship them overseas like you mumble about. Ted, every time opportunity knocks on our doors to offer peace and stability in the Middle East, liberals like you always slam it shut and toss away the key. Ted, sounding retreat has always been your chord on foreign policy, and it's an old tune that will come back to haunt Democrats on Election Day.
Al, you're stuck in George Orwell's 1984 time warp. War is not peace. George Bush himself rejected your argument after the Gulf War. He said the arms race in the Middle East threaten world peace and pledged the United States would take the lead to end arms sales there. Once again, President Bush's actions flatly contradict his words. Today, the U.S. is the number one arms peddler in the Middle East. It's a sad comment on the state of the economy that he's escalating the arms race in the Middle East to keep jobs here at home. President Bush's mismanagement of the economy the past 4 years is coming home to roost. These frantic pre-election moves on jobs are transparent attempts to buy votes. The American people see through that trick. Bill Clinton has a jobs plan for the next 4 years, Al, not just for the next election, and it's not an Orwellian plan either. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. President Bush vetoed Congress's bill to repeal the gag rule, and voters will veto President Bush on Election Day. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, President Bush has vetoed many deserving bills, but the gag rule takes the cake. That's the bill to block the administration's ridiculous right-wing regulation preventing health clinics from even telling pregnant women about abortion. That's indefensible, Al. The issue's free speech, not abortion. Government shouldn't dictate what health professionals tell patients. People reject extremist positions like that, except at Republican conventions. President Bush blamed Congress for embroiling public health in the politics of abortion. That's the height of hypocrisy and the depth of duplicity, Al. That health program has been doing fine for 18 years. until the administration suddenly thought up the gag rule. 3 more months, Al. George Bush will be a private citizen, and the right wing will be back in its bottle.
Ted, as long as extremist liberals like you continue to run the Congress, that bottle of bile will never stop pouring. But I must admit, I agree with you that when government has the power to dictate what healthcare professionals can tell their patients, we all lose something. But Ted, your flip-flop attitude on government intervention is always truly puzzling. Quite frankly, this plea, coming from one who always makes quite sure that government sticks its big nose into everybody's personal life and business, your argument, not President Bush's, is the true height and depth of hypocrisy. Ted, free speech and government intrusion are the two major issues surrounding the gag rule debate. The administration may be off on this one, but Bush is the only candidate for president who has demonstrated a real, honest commitment to getting government off our backs. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on how the only consistency with Slick Willie is his inconsistency. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. Who is the real Bill Clinton? Why, whoever you want him to be. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, whether Bill Clinton is discussing his own checkered past or our nation's future, his only consistency is his inconsistency. On the issues of free trade, the Gulf War, the economy, abortion, gun control, and the draft, Clinton would rather be popular than be presidential. When you look at Clinton's pandering behavior, you'd think he was running for prom king, not president of the United States. Ted, there's an old saying that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. As a profile in political courage and leadership, Clinton's waffling would promise a future of indecision and drift. Ted, before this guy, who really is harder to pin down than Jell-O, debates President Bush, old Slick Willie ought to first debate himself. When looking at all the real tough issues, I can't think of two candidates who could make a debate more interesting than Clinton versus Clinton. Him evasive? You betcha.
Al, you picked the wrong time to talk about other people straddling issues. You're Exhibit A, Al. You were part of that bizarre herd of Republican senators the other day who switched positions in the space of 30 minutes to get on the right side of a key woman's issue. You were spinning like a weather vane, Al. Senator Tom Harkin of Iowa wanted to shift funds from military spending to breast cancer research. Yes, man for the Pentagon that you are, Al, you voted against that sensible proposal. But suddenly, Republican senators panicked. You forgot it's the year of the woman, with women's health a priority. Senate votes usually last 15 minutes, but this one took 53 minutes, Al, while male chauvinists like you traipsed back to the Senate floor, ate crow, and changed your position. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the administration's unseemly opposition to special prosecutors. What are they hiding? Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Who watches the watchman? Should the executive branch investigate itself? In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, after the Watergate abuses in the 1970s, Congress enacted a law requiring the use of independent special prosecutors, free from the White House control, in cases alleging wrongdoing by high officials in the executive branch. The landmark statute authorizing independent prosecutors has worked well for 14 years, but it expires in December. President Bush has threatened to veto any attempt by Congress to extend it. That's a serious mistake, Al. You Republicans are so angry at the Iran-Contra special prosecutor for the embarrassment he's caused that you're ready to scrap this basic good government reform. Richard Nixon was able to fire Prosecutor Archibald Cox during Watergate because Cox wasn't independent. President Bush wants the same power Richard Nixon had, Al, but it's a power no president should have.
Ted, this is raw special interest politics and media hype at its absolute worst, dragging good people like Cap Weinberger into court and forcing them, at tremendous personal and taxpayer expense, to defend their good names and reputations against wholly unprovable and totally unsubstantiated charges is not my idea of good government. Ted, not only does the special prosecutor have a lousy and quite frankly embarrassing track record, the special prosecutor's office has become nothing more than a high-priced private employment agency for a few well-paid, young, immature, and highly unsuccessful lawyers. Ted, the American people sure deserve an end to a pathetic organization that should be renamed the Democrat Lowball Political Enhancement Commission, an honest name for a disreputable outfit. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on Hollywood Crossing the Line Between Entertainment and Political Commentary. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. Hollywood has surely crossed the line between entertainment and political commentary. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, in Hollywood's level of zero tolerance for Bush and Quayle, the entertainment industry should practice what it always preaches on the First Amendment and stop using it as a club to stifle that freedom for others. Ted, when people become afraid to criticize industry positions on family values or any other issue for fear of the ridicule Hollywood can generate, we're all in deep trouble. What politician would ever dare express a contrary opinion on program content, knowing the clear result would be a vicious, primetime, self-righteous, and highly partisan attack? Ted, it is truly sad to see an industry that has eloquently spoken for so many years against the suppression of minority viewpoints to now use its awesome powers to silence and humiliate those who oppose their position. Ted, Murphy Brown should stick to serving up those clever one-liners and stop dishing out stale partisan political gruel.
Sour grapes, Al. Murphy Brown and Hollywood didn't start that family values fight with Dan Quayle, but they sure finished it by a knockout, not even close. When this election campaign's over, Al, I bet you Republicans wish you'd never raise family values as an issue. Dan Quayle's attack on Murphy Brown were so inept, so unfair, so wide of the mark, that single mothers all across America took offense. The vice president spent weeks trying to explain what he meant. He finally succeeded in changing the subject by spelling potato wrong. But the damage was done. At the Republican convention in Houston, your right-wing crazies got out of their cage on the family values issue. The vast majority of Americans were repelled by the extremism they saw. As they say in the circus, Al, it's a big job cleaning up after a big elephant, and even Jim Baker hasn't been able to do it. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. It's time for the United States to end the abomination of selling landmines to other nations. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the Senate took a step towards sanity in the arms race the other day. We voted a one-year moratorium on sales of anti-personnel landmines to other nations. It's bad enough that these weapons are used against infantry in wartime. It's even worse that they're used in guerrilla wars to be sprinkled indiscriminately and terrorize civilians. The Soviet Union used 10 million landmines in Afghanistan. Some were shaped like toys for children to pick up. 20,000 Cambodians lost arms or legs from these indiscriminate and sadistic weapons. Today, 35 nations manufacture and export landmines, including Uncle Sam. Let's stop this brutal trade now, Al. The U.S. should be doing all it can to outlaw landmines. Don't tell me you're prepared to keep on peddling vicious weapons like that.
No, I sure don't peddle landmines, pal, but you're sure an expert at laying political ones. Ted, it's funny how liberals like you always try to judge weapons on how mean they are. In reality, Ted, there's no such thing as a nice or a non-vicious weapon. So why don't you just say it outright? If you had your way, U.S. companies would not be able to ever sell one single weapon overseas, even to allies who need them. Fact is, this warm and fuzzy moratorium won't do one thing to stop the production, sale, and use of landmines around the world. All the moratorium tells us is that we can no longer do business with our allies. They'll just get them somewhere else. Ted, this liberal knee-jerk maneuver will lay a landmine right under our ability to know where all this stuff goes. Help us keep a handle on it, not let the black market continue the carnage. Sad but true. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on why Bill Clinton is the wrong man for our environment. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. If you really think that Bill Clinton is the best man for our environment, think again. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, on the environment, Bill Clinton was described as the, quote, dirtiest governor in the nation. On environmental policy and such laws passed, Arkansas was rated 50th. Even Arkansas's own pollution control commissioner said, quote, if California was operating under the laws of Arkansas, everyone would be wearing a gas mask. Bill Clinton, the environmental president, what a gas. Then Ted, Al Gore is a radical who's willing to sell American jobs right down the river with his environmental whims of no more autos and no more coal. Two wrongs, or in this case, two radicals, don't make a right. Fact is, under President Bush, the EPA has levied an unprecedented number of criminal fines, and if it were not for Bush, there would be no Clean Air Act on the books today. George Bush really puts people and jobs first. Clinton and Gore roost with the spotted owls.
Al, Bill Clinton's far ahead of George Bush on every issue that matters to the environment. 4 years ago, George Bush promised to be the environmental president, but he sold out to polluters. Sure, he finally signed the Clean Air Act, but every step along the way, he tried to undermine it in Congress and remove most of its teeth. If Bill Clinton had been in the White House, Al, we'd have a stronger law and be breathing cleaner air. Name any environmental issue, Al, and the Bush administration's on the wrong side. They handed over priceless wetlands to developers. They tried to deregulate toxic waste and let business poison the groundwater by dumping hazardous chemicals into landfills. The administration's latest outrage is its scheme to permit strip mining on millions of priceless wilderness acres in national parks and forests. The environment's the issue, Al, and it's Clinton by a landslide. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on Job, Health, and Safety. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Bush administration has blocked overdue steps on safety in the workplace. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. You have to admit, Al, the Bush administration made a serious mistake when it sided with employers and blocked needed steps to protect workplace health and safety. Every year, 10,000 employees are killed on the job. 100,000 more die from illnesses they got from their work. 7 million are injured. The federal agency that's supposed to protect workers is hopelessly outgunned. Too little resources, too few inspectors, not enough teeth to make employers shape up. No agency can watch every plant. Other countries use joint labor management committees in each workplace to give employees a real voice in their own health and safety. But the Bush administration is ideologically opposed to giving workers any role, so nothing's been done. Trust management, President Bush says. President Clinton won't make that mistake, Al.
You're so right. Clinton does not trust business. His economic plan would provide a tombstone for every single American company. Ted, the only thing you and Clinton have ever trusted is big government. Your bizarre paranoia against business and employers and your lust for ramming them in the snoot would spell certain disaster for the economy. But it's pretty funny, because when it comes to real health and safety, there is no bigger hypocrite than you, old Ted. Your blind love for any regulation has forced people into smaller, less crash-worthy cars, and you've pounded the FDA so hard that the drug approval process is now tragically slow in developing new drugs that save lives. Ted, Americans want jobs, and they don't want or need old-time career politicians like you and Slick Willie, who never, ever had to meet a payroll to now be their babysitter. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on how Bill Clinton would bury our businesses ever deeper in regulations. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. Even though government regulators are spinning out of control, Bill Clinton's answer is to keep putting the pedal to the metal. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, no one argues with sensible and reasonable regulation, but regulatory overkill from overzealous liberals like you really needs to be stopped. Regulations add nearly $5,000 to the cost of goods that each family buys in every year. So what does Clinton think we should do to stop this insanity? Not a thing. Fact is, Clinton's economic plan goes on to pile on even more. Ted, the only candidate committed to assuring America's true potential is George Bush. He knows that the sky is the limit if only we can take an axe to many of those needless regulations. Ted, while Bush would give our businesses a pitchfork to help them dig their way out, Clinton would give the government a shovel to only bury business deeper and deeper, and just like you, pal, Slick Willie can really lather it on thick.
Al, Bill Clinton and Democrats are all for deregulation when competition and free enterprise can work, but you Republican extremists don't stop there. You deregulated the SNLs and let them run wild. That brought on one of the worst scandals since Watergate. You can't just turn health and safety over to the private sector either. You'd have deregulation run amok, unsafe workplaces, dangerous medicine, and deadly bacteria in food. You even tried to justify deregulation on the crackpot theory that employers who don't have to pay the cost of eliminating dangers in the workplace will pay higher wages so workers can lead healthier lives. What hogwash. Deregulation under George Bush is a dangerous charade, Al. Bill Clinton puts people first, and the American people will return the favor by putting Bill Clinton first on Election Day. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on important biomedical research that's being blocked by anti-abortion extremists. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Bush administration is blocking important progress against disease because of its ideological opposition to using tissue from abortions for biomedical research. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the Bush administration has pushed its anti-abortion ideology too far. They've been kowtowing to right-wing demands to block needed medical research using tissue from abortions. Because of its unique properties, the tissue has potential for breakthroughs on a wide range of incurable illnesses, such as Alzheimer's disease, diabetes, spinal cord injuries, and Parkinson's disease. Yet you right-wingers are dead set against such research. You're afraid it'll encourage women to have abortions. Nonsense, Al. Why should tissue from abortions be discarded when it has the potential to save lives? President Bush is wrong on this issue, Al. He's a prisoner of right-wing ideology. That's one more reason he's losing this election.
Ted, Bush isn't losing anything, but you have really lost your cool and your marbles on this one. Earlier this year, President Bush proved his commitment to making fetal tissue research a reality. In case you missed it all, pal, Bush has established a fetal tissue bank to collect tissue from spontaneous miscarriages to use for diseases you name. It is a step in the right direction. I voted aye on your side, and now I'm heartened to see that he is giving this issue the thoughtful review and attention it so deserves. His willingness to compromise shows his compassion and concern for people like my dear dad, who desperately needs this research for Parkinson's. Bush has also demonstrated what good government is all about by trying to meet die-hard, rock-bound liberals like you halfway. But, Ted, you surely have done this country a civic service by vividly showing us all what that old Democrat black magic gridlock, petty politics as usual, is all about. Boy. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. Bill Clinton's public record on crime is truly almost criminal. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, 2 years ago, President Bush sent a crime bill to the do-nothing Democrat Congress, and there is nothing to show for it. Bush's strong crime bill would have made our justice system more fair to our state police and helped victims and their families who still languish in seeing convicted criminals make a real mockery of our liberal criminal justice system. And, Ted, America has people like you and Clinton to thank for that. Ted, Clinton's real record on crime is worse than bad. Most inmates in Arkansas serve only one-fifth of their sentences behind bars. That's the rottenest record in the nation. Not only that, the Little Rock Police Department has endorsed George Bush for president. Could it be they're trying to serve and protect us from Bill Clinton? You betcha. They live with his miserable crime record each and every day.
Give it up, Al. George Bush can't hold a candle to Bill Clinton on fighting crime. Try a few of these facts on for size. Arkansas's violent crime rate is 22% lower than the national average. Arkansas does better than the national average in arresting violent criminals and in the percent of prisoners enrolled in substance abuse programs. True, Arkansas, like every other state, releases prisoners on parole. But Arkansas sentences are longer than the national average. The average percent of sentences served may be low, as you say, Al, but the actual time served is above the national average. Bill Clinton has been endorsed by the National Association of Police Organizations. He's also been endorsed by the Texas Law Enforcement Association in what President Bush calls his home state. George Bush calls a hotel room in Texas home so he can dodge taxes at his real home in Kennebunkport, Maine. Not exactly respect for law, Al. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on voter registration reform. Why on earth would George Bush veto that? Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. President Bush's veto of the omnibus voter registration bill was a poke in the eye of democracy itself. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, President Bush's policy of government by veto is bad enough. But when he uses the veto to keep citizens from registering to vote and participating in elections, he's undermining democracy itself. That's what he did the other day with his irresponsible veto of the Motor Voter Bill. That's the good government measure to simplify and streamline voter registration by letting citizens register to vote when they apply for a driver's license, visit a local library, or stop at public places. Current voter registration requirements are notoriously unreasonable, Al. They discourage citizens from voting by making it too difficult to register. There's no excuse for a presidential veto like that. What are you Republicans afraid of, Al? That people who register to vote will vote for Bill Clinton?
Well, that's why you wanted it, isn't it? Ted, for a lawyer who never practiced law, you're sure having a tough time with cause and effect. The cold fact is, states that switched to motor voter on their own actually saw voting decline. Repubs call the bill auto-fraudo. Ted, I hate to burst your radiant bubble, but no bill can make people vote. Registration doesn't stop folks. They're staying away because they keep seeing the same real duds on the ballot. Ted, this measure is one other attempt for liberals like you to impose your goofy ideas on state and local governments who don't want your favors. It creates a national voting system. Did it ever occur to you that Republicans and Democrats at the state level don't want anything to do with this? At tens of millions of dollars in some states, you can't blame them. Ted, this must be your grand idea of deficit relief. Keep right on spending, but leave the states stuck with the tab. Par for the course. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on why Bill Clinton's record on health care is enough to make all Americans feel sick. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. Bill Clinton's record on health care in Arkansas is enough to make all Americans feel sick. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. With Bill Clinton as governor, health care in Arkansas has fared far worse than the national average. Clinton's known lack of commitment to health care has made it an embarrassment for his state to be one of the very worst when it comes to infant mortality, number of people covered by health insurance, and deaths among children. To mask his anemic record, Slick Willie decided to embrace a cold rehash of an old liberal socialized medicine plan that would surely put most of our nation's small businesses on the critical list, as well as pull the plug on American jobs. Bush has the only plan that will help out over 35 million Americans who have no health insurance now, and his plan cuts costs, something you Dems don't seem to care the first thing about. Ted, the last thing our health care system needs is a massive dose of more government from Democrats trying to play doctor. Talk about malpractice.
Al, if President Bush had worked even one-tenth as hard to improve health care for America as Governor Clinton did for Arkansas, the country wouldn't be facing a health care crisis today. Under Bill Clinton, infant mortality in Arkansas dropped 43%. Health screening and early treatment for poor children increased 21-fold, Al. He established nurse-midwife programs to bring maternity care to women. He launched an Elder Choices program to provide care for senior citizens in their own homes instead of nursing homes. He fought for rural health care and mammograms to prevent breast cancer. He put immunization, health screenings, and health education in Arkansas's public schools. President Bush did nothing on health care for 4 years. His last-minute campaign conversion is all gimmick and no good. Bill Clinton is the man with a serious health plan, Al. He deserves the chance to put it into effect. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on President Bush and USA to Saddam Hussein before the Persian Gulf War. Tune in tomorrow in the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. President Bush's failed economic policy is a major issue in this election. And now the bloom is off the rose on his foreign policy, too. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, when it rains, it pours. President Bush deserves the low marks he's received for mismanaging the economy. But new information on events leading up to the Persian Gulf War show that his foreign policy was deeply flawed, too. It turns out that President Bush recklessly ignored repeated warnings about Saddam Hussein for 2 years leading up to Saddam's invasion of Kuwait. Those warnings included strong evidence that Saddam was developing nuclear and chemical weapons, and that he was doing it with the help of U.S. foreign aid funds. President Bush ignored all these warnings, Al. He foolishly believed he could work with Saddam and keep him in line. It was a monumental foreign policy blunder, Al. And it led to an unnecessary war that America never should have had to fight.
Ted, I'm really not at all surprised to see you finally hop on board the collapsing bandwagon of scatterbrained liberals who try to revise recent history in the Middle East and about our relations with Iraq. Our policy to moderate Iraq had the moral and financial support of the entire Arab world and every single European country, and Clinton and other Arkansas Democrats thanked Saddam for buying their rice. The fact that we did try was a major factor that later made it possible to assemble a victorious UN coalition. Ted, the real reason for this liberal amnesia is to hide Bill Clinton's miserable credentials on foreign policy. The American voter knows that we still live in a threatening and uncertain world, and they will well remember this on Election Day. There is an old saying that truth is the first casualty of war. Well, Ted, you partisan liberals have now proved that history is the first casualty of politics. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. Thanks to George Bush, we are winning the war on drugs, one battle at a time. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, since President Bush took office and forged an anti-drug policy into action, cocaine use is down 22%, and marijuana use fell more than 16%. The effort to win back our kids has been the most success of all. Teenagers have cut their use of drugs by more than 25% since 88. Ted Slick Willie has kept a tight lip on the war on drugs, and for darn good political reason. In 85, Clinton had refused to grant extradition of a Little Rock native to New York on cocaine charges because he thought the New York law was, quote, too harsh. Clinton could never match Bush's good record, especially since in 1989, marijuana was estimated to be Arkansas's number one cash crop. No joke. Clinton doesn't need to inhale when he's surrounded by all that stuff. What's good for Arkansas is good for America, eh, pal? Give us a break.
Al, we're losing the war on drugs, and everyone knows it. One of the few bright spots is that Arkansas is the second most effective state in the country when it comes to seizing supplies of marijuana. If President Bush's war on drugs was even half as efficient as Arkansas's, we wouldn't have the massive drug crisis we're struggling with today. President Bush also promised no deals with drug kingpins during the war on drugs, but he flip-flopped and gave reduced sentences to five of the biggest Colombian drug kingpins in U.S. custody as part of the deal to prosecute Manuel Noriega. The fundamental reason we're losing the war on drugs, Al, is that we're waging a misguided battle. President Bush ignores two of the most important weapons, treatment and education, then tries to lock up every addict he didn't treat. That strategy isn't working, Al. It leaves far too many criminals out on the streets. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on next Tuesday's election. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Voters cast their ballots tomorrow for new leadership, especially on the economy. It's time for a change. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, Americans have the chance to cast their votes tomorrow for new economic leadership in the White House and a stronger economy for the future. Some say that people are turned off by politics this year. I say nonsense. The heart of the problem is the past 4 years of failed Republican economic policies. Communities can't pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. Economic leadership starts in the White House. Until we get it, the recession will continue. The economy will keep bumping along the bottom, and families will suffer. The economy has been the issue from the very start of this campaign, Al, and it's still the issue. All your Republican tricks to change the issue, all your negative attacks haven't worked. Bill Clinton's the best hope to get this country moving again, Al, and that's why he'll win tomorrow.
Ted, you keep forgetting that tomorrow is election day for the Congress, too. Americans do really know that when it comes to runaway deficits, crippling taxes, and the mountains of disabling regulations that Bush never had a vote. The buck stops with the failed policies of the loony bin Democrats in Congress. Ted, the voters don't want a simple rubber stamp like Bill Clinton in the White House. They will choose George Bush to make certain this country can someday realize its true potential by getting government off our backs and letting capitalism work. Ted, only George Bush has the experience and the seasoning to answer the hotline and do the right thing in a pinch. Clinton's pandering and waffling will never match Bush's strong, proven leadership. Clinton's motto is, "It isn't who you know, but who you yes." Listen to him, but don't inhale. Ted, America won't ever settle for that brand of leadership. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the vital importance of Election Day. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. Today is America's Election Day. Win, lose, or draw, the people finally have their say. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, regardless of the outcome of today's elections, it is so important that we Americans understand that this special day, celebrated every 4 years, is the very essence of what our democracy is all about. As Americans go into the voting booths, people from across the globe will be watching and admiring how our people choose their president for the 50th time in our history. The new democracies of Eastern Europe and the former Soviet Union all send delegations to the U.S. to learn how democracy really works. We have known for over 200 years that the ballot box is the near sacred shrine for settling disputes among free men and women. All those around this unsettled planet who have only recently voted for the very first time know that our proud legacy is that of making the ballot more powerful than the bullet, and that has become the reality of the search for truth and freedom worldwide.
Al, every vote counts today. It's every citizen's chance to make a difference for the future. Families across America are fed up. People want jobs, not a place in the unemployment line. Parents want decent schools. Families want health care when they're sick, not higher and higher insurance premiums, taking deeper and deeper bites from paychecks. There's a fundamental choice, Al. 4 more years of the ringer we've been through, or 4 better years under new leadership on jobs, education, health care, and other issues that make a difference in people's lives. George Bush was elected on false pretenses in 1988. He said he'd be the education president, the environmental president, the health care president, the kind and gentle president. But he's none of the above, Al. On issue after issue, he's been the do-little president. Today's the day, Al. The people finally get to speak. You and I both know what they're going to say. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the results of today's elections. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.